Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the
place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
And everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I am Dougie Almeida, back from the exciting Wichita and Tulsa antibody comedy tour I was on. And excited to be back with you guys. And we're excited. We got a great show today. And this whole Zoom thing's great because I don't have to leave the house ever. And it's beautiful. And let's talk about tonight's lineup of comics and professionals and entertainers. First, since I mentioned comic, let me introduce my good friend and comedian Phil Kobzinski is here today.
Hi.
And I brought you on first because I memorized your name. I don't want to screw it up, which is your name's got to be one of the most screwed up names in comedy introduction history.
I want to seem special.
Yes. And of course, broadcaster from ESPN and radio talent, Mr. Dave Lamont is here today.
Good evening. How are you guys?
What's up? And welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where considering everything that's going on around the world, you do need a good night's sleep. So sleep in. There's nothing you can't catch on the news or on this show. So here we are, guys. And let's start with this. So, Phil, you and I know each other probably, the longest or the more. You and I met at a comedy festival, I'm imagining. Probably the World Series of Comedy was the first one.
Yep.
And the last time we hung out was that we actually shared a hotel room, right?
Yeah, we were roomies. Yeah, mm-hmm. I gotta listen to you sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun after a few beers and a bunch of fast food. That was...
Now, I imagine between... Because there's a few people. I don't know if I snored that night, but I imagine I probably did. But that was at the NoHo Comedy Festival, correct?
It was... Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a lot of drugs. Not that you did any. I'm not suggesting you did any, of course. I'm just saying that at the NoHo Comedy Festival, half the festival is sponsored by legal weed distribution and distributors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never, if it had been 10 years earlier, I would have had probably 5 years of prison sentence on me at all time. And I didn't even use any of it. I ran into my LA friend the next 2 or 3 days. And then my buddy got into a car wreck. So I was like, hopefully it wasn't because of that elixir I gave you.
Oh, my God. So you gave away all your stuff. That's nice.
Yeah. 500 milligrams of like super potent. It was like a 5-hour energy drink, but it was the opposite of that. It was more like a 48-hour Rip Van Winkle thing.
I actually do remember that. But my favorite moment of any of that stuff was those edibles that were like Flintstones, like fruity pebbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the most delicious edible I've ever eaten. As a matter of fact, I was so high from being at the festival and everybody smoking. We did the dope show, right? I don't know if you were.
Did the
dope show. Got high as hell doing the dope show. Dave, the dope show is basically go and do like 10 minutes sober. And then you go out and you smoke a big fatty. And then you come back and do like 5 or 7 minutes high. And yeah. And I smoked mine and I met Trix on the way back in. And Trix comes out. He goes, "You want to smoke?" I go, "Yeah, why not?" So I got, then I smoked even more. And then by the time I got back, I was on stage for a couple minutes. I'm like, I think I got to look at my notes.
I was going to say, do you remember your material at all when you're like that?
I don't remember anything.
It just comes out a lot slower is what happened.
But that was a lot of fun. So that's where we know each other. Dave, you and I met on probably in the studios at the Paul Castronovo morning show.
Yeah, that's correct. About a year and a half ago. But I knew of you, obviously. You've been around this area for a long time, as I have been.
Yeah, and we both share, like, you you are a broadcaster. I love the, you know, I've always wanted to do that. I've always, if I ever could be doing something else, it would be a broadcaster or a color commentator on the sports, especially soccer, because that's a game I know. And that was a great opportunity for me, because I've been doing this podcast so long, and a couple people are like, you don't get paid to do the podcast. What good is it? And then I get a call from the Paul Castronovo show saying, hey, we want you to come in because we need some people sitting in the seats. And
yeah, he's got a good thing going. But at the time, he did love to bring guests in, and that's changed a little bit. Unfortunately for me, I haven't been back there in a while. But he's got a great thing going. But he's always had an eye for the local comics, or bringing in big name national comics as well. But he's been a huge supporter of the comedy scene, without question.
I haven't been able to see the show much, because I'm not getting up much in the morning with this whole. This whole quarantine thing. Are they doing it from the studio? Or are they all Zooming in? Or are they all doing it individually?
Paul at the moment is out of town, but still doing his show. I think the only one that goes in might be Toast.
Yeah.
And the producer. And that's it. I imagine that building now is just, you know, tumbleweed city at that point. Why bother? Look what you're able to do here. You've got, first off, I'm hugely envious of all the posters with your face on them. I don't have anything like that. I have a wall with a painting that we bought from like Bed Bath and Beyond back here. That's my set.
And it looks a little crooked, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
That's wrong side. That's not me. That is my buddy Joey Medina, although we have been mistaken.
Yeah, it does look like you.
Yeah. And we have been mistaken. Matter of fact, I think we were recently mistaken at a show where somebody thought I said something and he may have said it. So isn't that always great, Phil? You ever get done to a show and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I loved your joke about the you know, the wall, whatever. And you're like, I don't do a joke about that. And you're like, oh, that was right. The guy. You're like, oh, you asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all us white guys just all get piled into one.
All look alike. Yeah,
that's why I have the weird, that's why I kept my natural name.
Phil Kopczynski. Now, that is obviously a nice Italian name. But how often does the MC screw it up?
Oh, man. Well, not as much anymore, because, I have like a little, I'm like, I just break it down to like three things. It's like cop, sin, ski. But yeah, if I'm in like a small town, I know if they're going to screw it up, if they're like, oh my God. Yeah. Like they haven't seen a lot of things outside of where they're from.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, that, because that is, and like, when you host a show, first of all, it's very hard. When you're with the hardest, to me, to this day, the hardest spot on a comedy show is the host, because you got to get up and down a few times. It's a bit aerobic, you know. Yeah. Number one, and number two, you know, you got to remember everybody's names, everybody's intros, and you're not done. Like the easiest spot is the feature, is the opening act. Because they go up, the crowd's already good, the crowd's already warmed up, they're laughing, hopefully. And then you come up and do 25, 30 minutes, whatever it is. That's it. And then you walk off stage, you chill out and you're done, right? The headliner's got a hard job because they got to show everybody up. They got to close the show. They can't, you know, it's never good if you're a headliner and the person who went before you does much better than you, right?
Yeah, that's why I love the Canadian system, you know, where the beginner spot is the middle spot, and the secondary spot is the host. So a lot of times the host is kind of like a beginning headliner. When you get a pay raise, you go from feature to host.
Host, yeah. And then we were talking about the other day on the show.
A lot of the clubs network.
We were talking about in the show in New York in the old days. You had headliners. You know, most of your in your city, New York and Boston. The strong acts are hosting and closing, and then everybody else in the middle is just, you know.
Dude, that's the way it should be. You should lead the show with a strong act and not somebody who you just pulled out of an open mic who's like, oh, bah, 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 and it's like their first. Yeah, a lot of clubs make that mistake in the U.S. And it's just like, dude, pay an extra $50, man, and just get someone who's going to crush that first 5 minutes.
That's right. And now, and the good thing about that, too, like in Canada is, they do a lot more time, right? I think that's the way it is. Yeah. The House of Comedy, the Rick Bronson's rooms. I think I was talking to Jimmy Schubert, and he said, "Look, you don't want a feature; you'd rather host."
Yeah, he's right. Paid,
you got to, because I think they do it similarly. Like you do more time when you host, and then you feature.
Yeah, they do the Canadian system because they're based out of Edmonton. Yeah.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
I guess it all makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Zanies, I think maybe does it that way. I don't. I mean, it's just everyone does it a little differently, but it just seems like. like the standard when deepest MC possible is just a race to the bottom.
Now, Dave, you know, sports are, you know, I mean, we're seeing that somewhat come back, although, you know, it is interesting. Our own home team, the Miami Marlins, have gotten into a lot of issues. You know, but you as a sports broadcaster, do you feel like you're like a VCR repairman now? Do you feel like there's only so many gigs? Like comics, we don't have so many clubs open. It's got to be – we are like the Whirlpool maintenance man.
We're Jesse White right now, the late Jesse White, who played all those roles. He was, you know, the Maytag repair guy or whatever. You know, it's funny. You guys were talking before the show about you've done some Zoom comedy, and I can't even imagine how you do that if you don't have any kind of feedback, because your feedback obviously is instantaneous. It's not that way when I'm on a broadcast. You know, I don't know what people are thinking. But, no, there's nothing out there, and there may not be anything out there. I mean, I'm a college sports guy primarily, and college football is in grave danger. College basketball may start late. In January, they may not even play games the first couple of months of the year. Nothing certain about the NFL. You mentioned the Marlins, and now we're just finding out that a few guys may have left the hotel. What is in downtown Atlanta that is apparently worth getting the virus for? Because you had the Lou Williams from the LA Clippers who went there to pick up his Lou Will lemon pepper wings from a strip joint.
Now, listen, if you are going to leave somewhere, if you're going to break curfew, mm-hmm. What, that is a great excuse where you're going to a strip club to get something on the menu that has your name on it.
And apparently they're quite good. I looked at the website and they do brag about their chicken wings. And Williams claims that there were no entertainers in the building at the time he was there.
Yeah.
I can't prove him wrong.
Yeah, I don't think strip clubs are open. I mean, I don't go to strip. Phil, you go a lot, don't you? No, I'm like kidding. I wouldn't guess the strip clubs.
Get yeah, the wings, though.
And the strip clubs in Washington State can't be that. Glamorous.
It's a lot of bush.
They all look like Courtney Love.
it's like 1970s porn up there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I just got back from Tulsa, and I can tell you, first of all, I'm just observant. Okay, don't judge me or anything, but I am observant. But a lot of the women in Tulsa were lesbian. Maybe just the women who come to comedy shows are more lesbian, or not necessarily. It's a general, you know, sampling of the women in Tulsa. But hey, there are a lot of lesbian women in Tulsa, and not a lot of women in good shape.
Well, let me ask how you were able to ascertain their sexuality.
Well, they didn't want my dick. That's
that must have been it. What a dumb question on my part. I'm sorry.
That's right, Dave. They didn't want any of my dick, so they're a lesbian. No, I mean, you know, I don't want to be stereotypical, but they had the looks, you know, and they were women holding hands. They were big women, you know, and you as a sports cat, you know, especially college, they look like they were starting players on a woman's baseball, you know, softball team. You know, they look like the, you know. And you know, good for them. God bless. You know, I'm just making that observation. I'm not saying, hey, that was horrible, but you know, it's one of those places that my wife does not have to worry about me. You know what I mean? It's really, yeah. You know, it was really amazing to have that. But you know, you talk about the sports, like I played college soccer, and I can only imagine I'm about to go to my freshman year or any of my years and go to college. And now it's not, you're like, well, we're probably not going to have a season, you know, cause soccer season starts around the same time, the beginning of the year. It's usually the beginning of the college year.
The scary thing is if there's no college football and you lose literally tens of millions of dollars from your budget, then you're going to start to see a lot of sports either get cut permanently or temporarily get cut. And that screws up the men and women who were going to play these sports. And they weren't going to make any money off of it. They were trying to get an education.
Right.
You know, most college athletes, I mean, the tiny amount of college athletes, you probably fit on the screen the percentage of who actually get paid once they leave college. So they need that education. They need that opportunity. You know, we overhype the guys who make the big money. We forget about the third string defensive lineman who's right. Hanging on to that scholarship for dear life because he wants to be an engineer one day and he needs that education. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about what they call the non-revenue or quote-unquote Olympic sports surviving if we don't get football.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's going to happen. And you're right. It's not always, you know, those athletes, the people on the upper, it's even like in comedy, right? Like Phil and I were talking about this. There's still people that are getting gigs. You know, mm-hmm. There's still the upper echelon are still getting gigs, you know, for the few clubs that are still open, right? And you're still working. But there's a lot of people that are going to pay a price. And the only thing that we could pray is that there is a vaccine. and that this thing is kind of behind us before by the end of the year, the beginning of 2021. You know, but even then, it's like a year. We were basically taking a year out of it, you know, and what it can happen. Like, think about, like you said, the revenue that football brings to college sports. You know, I mean, to not get that revenue in, I mean,
clubs are going to expect when everything really opens up, they're going to be pulling in the biggest acts they can possibly afford. And it's going to push a lot of guys like me down back to the bars, man. It's going to be a lot of bar runs after this, dude.
You're right. I mean, it is. And I mean, I'm going on the shows I've already booked, you know, I mean, I've got dates lined up through December almost. And I'm just, you know, I'm just hoping, like, I'm going to be in Vegas in November at Laugh Factory. I'm hoping they'll reopen there. Who knows? But, you know, but then have you, as a comic, have you said that? Have you said, you know what? I don't know if this is going to impede my future as a comic, and do I have to make other arrangements?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know how you had the vision to book canceled gigs, but I have had. I actually had a club date where I was like, I haven't heard from the producer yet. And I called him. He's like, I'm not even telling people it's canceled anymore. We all just assume, like, I've had 3 months of work just completely wiped clean, except for like one gig. And it was like, I was in New Jersey. It was like all the areas that were, as they were closing down, they were closing down right before. Colorado Springs had their first show the week after I was going to be there. Like, I don't know how it all got timed that way, but I mean, I'm looking at it, and it's like, to go out and book gigs without fear, I feel like it's going to be well into next year at this point, man. I don't know. Yeah. I have other forms of income. I mean, I never was like, I'm not starving. Cause I was like, I've always been like I can't go mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But how much does male prostitution really pay, Phil?
Hey man, pretty good when you got a shiny face like this. And also, I'm out in the woods, so they'll never get caught.
You have sex with Phil in the woods, nobody knows.
I feel like there's buried bodies behind you, Phil. I don't know why, but I feel like somewhere just a little further back, you've got, you know.
Well, hey, there's two types of serial killers. There's the ones that kill prostitutes and the prostitutes that kill their Johns.
Yeah, I was going to wonder, isn't that a foot back there? it is crazy, but I've talked to a lot of comics in the industry that are actually having to get jobs. You have to make that call. Like, I can think of a dozen comics I know that either moved to L.A. or New York in the last year, and you're like, wow, that was a bad idea, you know?
Yeah. I would be, if I lived in either of those cities, I'd be moving out, because why pay the high if you don't have access to those clubs right now? What's the point?
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
And living in those areas, Spokane, Washington, and I'm feeling pretty good about that decision right now.
That's right. You and I talked about this when we were in NoHo, like, because you knew people that moved, or actually, instead of being in LA, there's a lot of comics that said, "Let's just be in Seattle."
Yeah.
And, wow. Speaking of that,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you're up in the Northwest, Phil. Yeah. Is it as bad as the news depicts that it is just chaos up there?
No, it's not even close, man. Especially when they first were talking about it, it was like a farmer's market.
Yeah. You mean the Chad, right?
Where they're like, yeah, Chaz. They were like, the sketchiest thing up here is the street food being sold. I mean, it's, but you know, it's funny. Once they stopped covering it all the time, that's really when it got bad. That's when you had like gang members moving in and selling drugs and stuff. And they actually went in there and kicked everyone out after like a couple weeks ago. So I think the business owner, that's a nice part of town. That's one of the only places in Seattle before COVID happened that you would actually not see like junkies laying passed out in the street and stuff. So last time I was in Capitol Hill, I was like, wow, this is first time I've been in Seattle without seeing like needles on the ground. So they went to like one of the nicest spots.
Well, they're smart. They're smart anarchists. And you know, Dave, you being in the business of broadcasting, that is your main gig, right? Your gig is covering sports. So the phone's not ringing or what?
No.
How do you handle that?
No, again, football's up in the air. I have a couple of studio soccer games coming up next month in the United Soccer League, which is the level below MLS. And I've got a little professional bowling gig in August that will be done remotely. Everything's going to be done remotely. In fact, they're sending me equipment to do that. And, you know, football's going to look a lot different. It's going to sound a lot different this year. I'm hearing rumors that announcers may not even be at stadiums. They may be using studios. There are people who may even be broadcasting from home just to avoid, you know. And so who gets to go? Obviously, you need camera personnel there.
Right.
But you don't need any other people. You already are doing a lot of remote broadcasts with the producer and the director sitting in a studio together with everybody else that would normally fill a production truck. So this is, but the other thing is it's cost so many people jobs who freelance game to game. Think of all the people that are needed just to do stats, to keep score, to run small things that you never even think about when you're watching a game that are deeply necessary. And they're just sitting home either collecting unemployment or hopefully have another job, to survive, because we don't know what's going to happen. And things will be very drastically different for at least this year.
Or parents that they can move back in with, you know what I'm saying? It is a crazy thing. Now, I was so glad to see the English Premier League come back. Was interesting when you watch soccer. There's nobody in the stands, but they actually had the audio of fans, which some people didn't like it. Some people rather hear the like, as a soccer player, I like hearing the instructions and the talk between the players. I got into it, but just as a fan, I wanted to, like, I still watched, you know, NBC Sports and said, I'd rather hear the fans like they're there. You know what I mean? It just brought it back to me a little bit. I don't know. Listen, there's a lot going on with professional sports now, not only with the COVID, but with the racial division, right? A lot of people, putting out the Black Lives Matter. There's going to be no national anthem. People are walking out on it. I mean, there's a lot of people that are concerned with the survival of sports with all of that. And, you know, I don't care what anybody does, but I don't watch sports to see political statements. If I'm a professional athlete and I carry all that, I'm going to donate. I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to help the cause. But as a viewer of sports, the problem is it's divisive, because you know this. There are going to be people that don't want to see it, don't want to see that, don't care about it. And it's going to affect the game.
I don't know if it will affect the games, but it will affect the image for sure. And there's also pressure on these athletes to make these protests as well. So they're kind of caught in a bit of a vice. There's plenty of people who don't want it and they just want to watch their games. But there's other people like, hey, you have an opportunity here with a stage on you. You're a famous athlete. You need to make a statement while you can. It's great to give money. It's great, you know.
That's bad advice.
That's where these guys are caught.
That's bad advice. I'm telling you, that's bad advice. And it's bad to judge. The big problem is it's bad to judge. Now the person that – here's the problem in our society. If you should be able to make that decision for yourself and what you feel comfortable with, that without being, you know, berated or without being judged by it. And that's the problem.
Well, no one ever talks about that part of white privilege, is that, like – no one's ever telling white athletes that they got to go and protest. No one's ever going, you know what I mean? Seriously, dude, like, no one ever is going to Tom Brady, like, Brady, you got to go out and help those poor Appalachian children, or the people, help your people, you know?
By the way, was that a true story? That was great. But Dave, was that a true story that Tom Brady said that he, and if anybody on his team at the Jacksonville, what was he playing with again?
Tampa Bay.
That if anybody kneels during it, he's kicking them off the team or something. Was that
true? No, that was a satire site. We've got a couple of those because I click on them. But I always am so suspicious of a website that I've never, ever heard of.
Right.
So I click on it, and then I see it's a satire site. And if you read, the problem is a lot of people just look at a headline and they like it. And they go, yeah, son of a gun, look at that. Bam, I'm with that. And then they don't read the story. And they how many times have you seen the death of Meadowlark Lemon on Facebook? And people, and they put the little sad face. The guy's been dead like 6 years. and I'm telling you now, 3 or 4 times every month, somebody posts that Meadowlark Lemon died. And, you know, that happens.
That's like on Saturday Night Live. Francisco Marco is still dead.
Generalissimo Francisco Franco
is
still dead. Yeah, that was an old Chevy Chase bit from the early days.
That was great. Speaking of that, Drew Brees caught a little heat when he basically commented, which I thought was kind of unfair. You know, if you're asked a question, it kind of brings it back to years ago. A woman who won Miss America or something was asked about gay marriage, you know, and she said, they asked her, how do you feel about gay marriage? You know, and, you know, and she said, well, it's against my religion. You know, to me, as I was raised, it was against how. And right there, that should have been it. You know, in other words, here's a person that was raised, had, you know, whether you believe it or not, that is not the question. You know, they're asked how you feel about it, you know, and she got stripped of her fucking time. There you go, Phil. I just cussed for the first time.
Hey.
Into it, trying to, yeah, there goes our Disney sponsor. But I.
Yes, and I work for Disney, so I was just about to line you up, too, so you blew it.
He's like, this guy's great. Oh, fuck it. I messed it up again. But, you know, but she got striped for a title because she expressed her religious beliefs. And this all began years ago when, you know, religions have been demonized, you know, not that they didn't have any help with all the shit going on with religion. But nevertheless. So, you know, I think he was treated unfairly. But I watched lacrosse. Lacrosse was on yesterday,
mm-hmm.
watching the lacrosse championships. And I guess his kids are playing, which is a big game. That's a sport that's really starting to move up in popularity.
It's actually, I did some lacrosse for 3 years when I had a team at FAU in Boca Raton. And really, really, if you get the best professionals, it is a high, high quality game if it's done right. Yeah, absolutely.
That is, you're right about that. That's a good point, because it's not like you can watch football, right? You can watch baseball, like AAA baseball. You got some great players, mm-hmm. right? The depth of that. But if you go into lacrosse from professional to semi-pro, you know, the guys are dropping shit. They look like they're carrying, you know.
Yeah. They don't really know what they're doing. College is also good, and college lacrosse has become a major sport, especially in the Northeast. But as far as Drew Brees, the funny thing about Drew Brees is he's done a tremendous amount of good for New Orleans post-hurricane. I mean, he came there. He signed there. He could have signed in Miami. He didn't do it, or they could have signed him. And he has done a lot. But unfortunately now, Dougie, and I, if you speak out, in today's Insta analysis era, you're going to get it from one side or the other.
Right.
It's very, very difficult to keep everybody happy, whether you're an athlete or an entertainer or a politician. It doesn't matter. If you speak out, you're going to get it from somewhere, whether you deserve it or not.
Too many people ready to rip you apart. I made a post today about the hearings with Attorney General Barr. I lost 4 friends. And basically, it was just like that, you know, it was like, you know, and these, you know, but then Phil, you know, like, you
put that anymore, Dougie. I'm sorry. It was time for me to finally get rid of
you. Yeah, asshole. Thank you. You know, but listen, that happens. You lose friends, it's, you know, comics and stuff. But, you know, my wife was even telling me, it's like, why do you even give a shit except for your real friends in comedy? Why do you have friends that are on your Facebook page that are comics that you don't know? They don't help me. They don't help my bit. I mean, I book shows, I produce shows, so it helps them to get to know me, right? That's why a lot of men are friending me. But I'm like, you know, you're right. If I'm not friends with the comic, why am I friends with them on Facebook? They're not like sharing my shows. They're not like helping me in my promotions and stuff, you know? So if they don't like my political stance and they unfriend me, you know, I could give a shit. But I don't really care to do it. You're right, David. That's what happens. You speak up, then people just, you know, the social justice warriors just rip you apart.
And it doesn't matter what side you're on. It goes right rips left, left rips right. And if it's almost as if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
If you just ignore it and go, well, Dougie just said that. Okay, well, I don't agree with it, but so what? That's Dougie's opinion. He's entitled to it. People, that civility has just disappeared.
Well, I even saw this in the comedy. Phil, you tell me if you didn't see this, but I had comic friends of mine, black comics, friends of mine that were posting, if you haven't posted anything,
yeah,
or black
silence is violence.
Yeah, like if you didn't say nothing, we're just gonna assume you're a honky ass, you know. Right,
maybe I've a comic friend of mine that was doing very well before this hit was like, listen man, I'm delivering groceries right now and I was making a 6-figure income doing comedy a few months ago, so maybe I just don't have time for your bullshit right now. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
So that you're right. So what do you think, Dave? Do we think baseball will survive? Do you think this is just the Miami Marlins, which are doomed since they won?
They've canceled more games they've played at this point, haven't they?
They have. They're not due to play again until next week. They're making this the longest rainout in the history of baseball. And the Phillies are also now being put on ice. So they basically suspended those 2 seasons. Meantime, I was on the phone with my best friend who just had surgery. He lives in Cleveland, and he was watching the first game of a doubleheader between Cleveland and the White Sox. So the idea, I guess, is that Major League Baseball has decided, as long as it's not anywhere else, would it really be smart to stop a game in Oakland, where they were playing yesterday, or San Diego, if you're having a problem in Philly? I know the virus goes airborne. It doesn't go that fast.
Yeah.
So
people are a bit ridiculous about that.
Well, I understand you want competitive balance. I'm all for that. And if you can somehow make these games up as, and treat them as if they were rainouts in the scheduling sense only, then let's go ahead and keep fighting and see what we can squeeze out of this. The mistake they made was not going into a bubble in maybe three or four cities, using minor league facilities in a major league facility, and doing it the way that is working with Major League Soccer. Good news early on the NHL, and largely good news on the NBA.
Why don't you explain that to us, what the bubble is? I mean, we, you know, the idea of it, because, you know, because baseball, they're playing in everybody's home parks.
Right.
Like there's just no fans. That's their solution. Where in Major League Soccer, they're all in Orlando, right? They're playing there. They're
playing
all
at Disney. And so the NBA is playing at Disney. And the NBA setup for Disney is great. You've got those buildings there that you could do three or four courts at a time. So you can play a game in one court, clean that whole area up. In the meantime, you have another game literally across the road, not even across the road, across the sidewalk in another building where you could play, clean all of that up. You keep the players isolated in the same hotel. You require them wearing masks. You limit the amount of people. Once you're in there, you're in there. So if you're a reporter, you're in there for 8 weeks.
Wow.
You're not going home. You're not going out. You're getting food brought to you. You're staying in these same hotels. It's the only way to do it. And so far, and the season starts in 2 days. We've had exhibition games, no trouble. Major League Soccer, this many positive tests. Nothing.
Wow.
While they're doing their tournament. Now, if they break out and they start having games in home parks, we'll see what happens. The WNBA, the women are doing the same thing down in Bradenton at the IMG Academy. They're trying the same thing. It's working.
No one watches women's basketball, Dave. Sorry.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to point out that they're trying to bubble system also. In the NHL, where are they? In Edmonton? Not in Edmonton. Toronto kicked them out. But the NHL has gone, and so far their first round of testing, bupkis. That's the bubble in a set. You don't get to leave. You don't get to go home. Limited amount of people are actually there. But if you really love your game, then you're going to do this.
Are they able to bring their – I'm sorry to interrupt, but are they able to bring in their family?
Not right away, no. I that was the biggest contention with baseball players. They were very concerned about bringing in, you know, wives or children or maybe parents. And they said, no, you can't do that. And so that's why MLB, their union, went against the bubble idea. And it looks like that's biting them back.
Wow. Well, let's see what happens. If, like you said, if a team can't field a team – then they have to forfeit their games, and that's it. If they can't pick up the games, then they're out.
But you can go to your expanded 60-player roster and basically scrap together the Cleveland team from Major League and throw them out there.
I got you. Like you use your farm system, and you just try to, you know, and that's good experience. So you may not win a pennant
or a game, like,
or a game. But you may not even get a hit. But you don't care. I mean, you want stuff like that. I was watching when I was at the airport. I was watching a game, and it was funny to see the cardboard cutouts of people. Yeah. That was kind of cute, and that kind of thing. Well, we spent a lot of time on the sports, folks. But let's just jump to the kids going to school and kind of tighten up. You know, Phil, your wife is a teacher. Right.
She's a teacher by trade, and now she spent the last 5 years working in a virtual learning program for the public schools, getting that started. So she just got out of that, and it is in the nick of time, because dude, they're like going from kid like the entire state, you know. It's nuts. I don't know, man. I think the kids in rural areas need to get back to school, but I don't know. I haven't been to a city for 5 months. I don't know what cities are like.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm out in the sticks, dude. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, listen, you know, it's interesting because I watch people talk about this, and they said, how dare you? People are so, like, they use this incredible verbiage like, oh, you're going to send their kids to die. And, you know, like, oh, my God, would you lighten up on the drama, first of all? Children are very, like, elementary school kids should go. You know what I mean? I don't see why they can't have elementary kids, because they have like an armor suit when it comes to their, you know, their their ability to shake this shit off. High, middle school kids, you know, they're going to be able to get on the computer more often. But let me tell you something. You talk about a divide. You talk about an intellectual divide. You're going to see that, if anything, because of this year. You are going to see a generation of kids learn to quit, learn to say, hell no, I'm not going to do it. And especially if their parents are like, I'm not sending my kid to get to get, you know, and that you know, you are going to see this. It's almost like during the Great Depression, you know, there were people that were hopeless, you know, and there was people that were hopeful. And I think this is just going to do the same thing. And it's not fair, you know, there's so many problems with it. Parents that aren't around because they're trying to work to teach and trying to have a parent teach, you know, and not only that, have a parent teach their own kid. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so many levels of problems with it. And one of my mentors says to me, he says, well, if it's 1 year, it's a setback. It's like a pause. It's like you have to reboot the thing in a year. And, you know, and I always tell my friends, and I do a lot of fundamental research with these pharmaceutical and biotech companies, this Project Warp Speed is working, and you will see some sort of, if not, you know, treatment to this thing, some sort of a vaccine, you know, one way or the other soon, to get people back to normal. So let's see what happens.
Well, the other issue is, though, you mentioned the kids, but what about the teachers? Yeah, that's the part that I think you have to be scared of, because they are, you know, some of them are older people and they're going to be more vulnerable. The big controversy here, Dougie, and I know you've been out of town, but it's been a battle back and forth with the school board. And right now, I think they're going to go virtual for the time being. There's grave concerns about one person, one teacher getting sick and possibly spreading that around. How do you, you know, is everybody going to be in the same room? I'll give you an example. Now, I've done some part-time teaching down at a private school about a mile from here. Have been doing it for 10 years. It's a broadcasting thing. I enjoy it. They're fully ready to go, but they can afford to take extra measures. They're defogging hallways. They're changing bell schedules to allow more time for students. They're moving things around. They can afford it. They've taken furniture out of classrooms. Every classroom has a camera. So if you opt out of showing up, if you decide, if your parents or you decide, you know what, I'm going to wait, you can still learn. But the issue has always been, how effective is that? And what if you're a teacher, you know, what if you're a parent with young children and you're trying to work, like you said, Dougie, that's the other nightmare. I'm an empty nester. I don't have to worry about this crap. But I do wonder about the people with younger kids and how they're getting their education.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, if you are a teacher, listen, like anything, you have to make a personal decision. And eventually that's where government aid should come. It's to those people that are in danger, that can't work, that are in a position where no matter what they try to do, they're unable to do. As opposed to somebody's like, I'm going to sit home and collect my $600 check. You know what I mean? And they can go work if they want. So for those people, but it, you know, to keep a distance from the kids, you know, the teachers, you know, I don't see that. The issue is with the kids, you know, when they're walking through classes and the mingling and all that stuff, but elementary school kids should go to school. I believe that. I don't think these kids are going to, and you know what, if you're an 88-year-old middle elementary school teacher, you should probably retire anyway. God damn it. You know, I mean, let's face it, old bag. No one wants you as a teaching. They want a hot teacher so they can bang them in middle school. So,
well, dude, there is a little bit of hypocrisy with some teachers where it's like, how are you? I mean, warehouse workers, truckers, gas station workers, they've been to work the whole time, man. Right. Like, I feel like teachers are probably more essential than pushing open bars before schools right now. It just seems like a backwards ass thing.
I think it could be done. I think, like you said, I think spacing and altering schedules and you know what, even mixing it up, like, okay. Like college, instead of going to school Monday through Friday, you go to college Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know?
There's been some talk of that, yeah.
Yeah, they got to be creative. That's the thing I always get, when people get lazy and they don't use that and it's all batter and I'm right, you're wrong, it's just ridiculous. Get some compromise. So let's see what happens with the kids, you know?
Well, my 13-year-old hasn't seen a friend since March. That's depressing. Like, that's the best time to see your friends. I hate hanging out with my friends. They all got stupid problems. I don't want to listen to their problems. 13 is the prime age.
Yeah, but when you're a kid and you hang out with friends, you play things like Truth or Dare. That's a lot of fun.
Yes, they're missing out on all that.
I mean, think about that. Think about a kid who doesn't get to play Truth or Dare. You know, doesn't get to see the opposite sex body part. You know, until they see it in a magazine. You know,
what's a magazine?
Leave the comedy to us, Dave, please. Okay. Sorry. You do the podcasting, god dang it. Can't be funny.
I lost my virginity on Zoom.
Right? I got my first hickey on Zoom, god dang it. But it is a real problem for the kid. I really feel like we were talking about it earlier. I really feel bad for, you know, the college athletes that trained for the season and got ready. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to know that. The only thing that's somewhat comforting is you hope, okay, well, hopefully next year, but that pushes everything back. You know what I mean? Well, now am I redshirted? Do I have eligibility? All these other questions open up. And I mean, you know, I guess you wouldn't, right? I mean, Dave, you would actually have, if you're an athlete in college, you would say redshirt me this year. I you know.
You can take that option, but if you have no sport, what if you used up that eligibility? And I can give you a perfect example. That bedroom right over there belongs to my youngest son, who's now a junior, just started at the University of Wyoming to play college basketball his final 2 years. He had to use a redshirt year after he transferred from his first school and then played junior college ball. So his redshirt year is gone, and there's a very good chance he won't get a full season this year.
Right.
Hopefully he'll be able to get at least, say, January to March, and we can actually have an NCAA tournament. That's my hope. And he loses time off of a career that doesn't have much left. And if you've used up that redshirt year, which a lot of guys do, very rarely do athletes go four straight through in any sport.
I think with all the pain that individuals are feeling in their own circumstances and stuff, people need to start relaxing and worrying about that's, I think if anything, that's what we really need to do. We stop worrying about other people. There's so much drama. There's so much nonsense that each family has to deal with, right? Like my wife and I, you know, it's just us, her daughter's a nurse. My stepdaughter's a nurse. She's she's working, you know, my wife is a hairdresser. So she was out of work for a while. You know, I'm fortunate, whereas, you know, as a financial advisor, I can work from anywhere, any room with my computer and a phone. So I'm not locked in, and, you know, I'm blessed that I don't have to go see people. You know, it's amazing. But these are the things you have to consider. You know, when you're in college, you got to think, oh, what am I going to study? What am I going to major? You better start thinking about this kind of stuff.
I have a question about how did the recruiting go for high schoolers this year?
Drastically. Just like what we're looking at right now. Everything was, first off, high school doesn't have the weight it used to in basketball. There's a lot of this AAU stuff and these travel teams that has a lot of weight, but a lot of these events canceled. Coaches also weren't allowed to travel. So everything was virtual. He was showing me videos that he would get on his phone. And, you know, somebody would send photos of their training facilities. This is what our arena looks like. This is what this looks like. A lot of phone calls, a lot more text than usual. He got one offer from another school in a format exactly like this right now. Everybody up in little screens, and then they show us things. That's what recruiting has come to at the moment. The in-person visits are out. You know, the parent coming up for the weekend to take a look around, all that stuff. Because I had an older son who went through this, is a little older. He played college basketball also. And we did all of that. We got to do the visits and all that. And it's a blast. It's an absolute blast. But no, you can't do any of that right now. That's off the table and will be probably for the rest of the year, if not longer.
Wow. I remember visiting colleges when I was playing soccer, and I remember visiting a little school in St. Augustine that I ended up going to, Flagler College.
Yeah.
And I remember hanging out with my buddy, and we went into town, and we went to my buddy, his buddy Smokey's house. And you could figure out what Smokey got his nickname from, but we got high as hell that night, and then I had the tryout the next morning. And oddly enough, I got a scholarship. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't as much as I'd hope, of course. Any rate, well, listen, let's hope that this works out. I miss sports. You know, I love watching sports. You know, again, soccer's my game. It was good to see the English Premier League come back. And the NASL, I'm good to say the MSL.
MLS is rolling, MLS, and the United Soccer League is doing well, too.
Yeah, that's a nice farm system that's growing. So, the last thing I was going to talk about was Congressman Ted Yoho from Florida calling Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a fucking bitch. Allegedly, I should say, because no one's actually come out and said they heard him say that. He ended up apologizing or something, but it's interesting. You know, I don't even care. You know, that's the thing I was thinking about. I don't even know if I want to talk. Like, are you an AOC fan, Dave?
I find her very intriguing. Yeah, because she might be the new wave of what this thing turns into after we're in the grave.
You mean a bunch of posers that act like they know what they're doing, and then
I don't know. I mean, listen, whoever votes her in, you know, seems to be happy because she's probably going to get elected again if it comes up again. Just the youth, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if we're complaining that everybody is too old who's running, then at least on the other end of it, we find somebody who's got youthful ideas as opposed to, you know, that. So I'm okay with that. I don't, if he actually said that, then that just proved my point earlier about how decorum and civility has just been absolutely erased.
Yeah,
that's, we do like to expect that there's some level of decorum in that group of people. And if you want to really rip somebody, you know, you got offices, you can go in there and just let somebody have it and not do it on the steps where somebody may or may not have heard it.
I agree with that. I'll agree with that in the sense that person should know better. In other words, as much as I don't care for her and I think she's a poser and when she talks, it's just amazing. When I watch somebody talking, there's not a lot behind it. But for that guy to do it and not compose himself, you know, pretty rookie move there. Pretty rookie move.
Extremely rookie.
I mean, to me, I'm like, it feels like a welcome to politics kind of a move for her. I feel like it's always been this. But I mean, Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton both have been depicted with like their face on like a BDSM thing. And I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like she is playing it. This, to me, what she's doing with it is the most savvy political thing she's done since she's been in office.
Yeah. A lot of people liked her speech, you know, in Congress
I mean, calling someone a fucking bitch, I don't know. To me, like, that's not the craziest thing that could happen. I guess I feel like that's a big, to call her a victim because she got called a fucking bitch, just, I mean, that's like her and the, you know, person that got pulled into a van and raped to death. Like they're both victims. How are they both in the victim category? And if calling someone a fucking bitch, then I am a person who victimizes my son. Cause that's how I get him to take out the fucking bitch, take out the garbage.
Does it take out
the garbage, my man.
Otherwise, you're going out to the woods behind daddy.
You used to have an older brother, buddy.
Yeah, you know where he is?
Why do you think these trees are growing so high?
That's hilarious. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. Today's word of the day, by the way, is equanimity. I'd imagine a gentleman like Dave would know that word.
I do, and I wish I practiced it every time I play golf.
Yes. And Phil, are you familiar with the word equanimity?
This is no. So this is not. Thank you for having me. I appreciate education.
I'll be honest with you. When I was looking through the word and I read it and I don't use it. It's not like it's part of my daily basically the definition of it is mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, which I think we all need right now. You know, everybody needs to settle down and don't be so quick to judge. You know, let's take it easy, take a breath, take it in, realize people are just trying to go through. That's the big thing about this whole pandemic thing, the judging, you know, from the politicians to everybody. This is an unprecedented moment. And like in sports, Dave, like when you're on a team that's losing, everybody's busting their ass. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You're just trying your best. And to point out somebody, unless somebody really screws up, you know, just trying to do your best in a moment of time where you're not sure. So let's have a little equanimity here, folks. And by the way, Brad, if we're ready, it's time. That part's our time of the day where we're going to have our joke right. Right, if you guys are aware of this, but this is where comics compete for top prizes of an array of truly worthless stuff, items, but more importantly, the honor to say they have won something in this day and age. All guests are challenged to write some sort of joke amidst the stories that we have provided here on our headlines today. And by the way, this our prize today is a used couch from the University of Wyoming, by the way, Dave.
Awesome. I thought it was West Virginia. They used to burn them until they got so angry at the image that they stopped doing it.
Yeah, it is a used couch from the University of Wyoming.
Excellent.
Dorm and a year's supply of black licorice to our winners. So
used or new?
Licorice?
Yeah.
It's in the couch cushions.
You get a year's supply, whatever you can find in the couch, by the way. So it's that time for Joke Right. Brad?
It's a joke, right?
All right. So, you know what? Don't worry about queuing any other stories, but these are our stories, folks. You don't have to write a joke for every story, but if you can come up with a quip, it doesn't have to be a long joke. It could be a quick little, it could be a comment. It could be a giggle. You can just go, ha, 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 and holy shit, that was the funniest thing we said the whole fucking, all right. So here's our first story, which was interesting. I'm sure you all heard this story, but a couple banned by Walmart after wearing Nazi flag face masks.
It's a joke, right?
Mark from Minnesota store. A couple wearing, how do you say it?
Well, I guess it was cloth coverings, right? Or a mask of a swastika?
Yeah, it was a face mask with a swastika on it. A couple who wore a Nazi flag face coverings to a Walmart in Marshall, Minnesota, have been told not to return. Police say the couple has been issued trespass notices. Officials said that they are banned from visiting any Walmart facility for at least a year. What are we going to do?
In Marshall, I don't know. That might be it.
That's it. Where else are you going to go? Target? There's no Target in Marshall.
Yeah, but Target's based in Minnesota. You might have a shot there.
Well, I like Target. I think Target is a nice store.
The only quip I thought of before I let a professional do it is this might be Jeff Foxworthy's new tour. You might be a Nazi if, and just see how he does with that.
Hey, let's hear it for the broadcaster. That was a good episode.
Yeah.
I have a better one, but Walmart could be a sponsor on Disney and programming, and I'm not going to go with that one. I'll write you that one and send it to you later.
I was going to say that'd be great because I can imagine see that quoted as you're about to get that gig.
Yeah. Not going to go there.
It would be on the show if it wasn't for this. You know, but there's a Wake Up Late with Dougie show quote. It's like when they quote Joe Rogan, you know, when they had Elon Musk smoking weed on Joe Rogan moment. Phil, what do you think about how, you know, would you feel like if I was in Walmart and I saw a person wearing a swastika mask?
I think Walmart totally blew it. They should have hired him to be social distance advocates, because when you hail Hitler, you are actually creating a nice distance from the other person. Yeah, exactly. I think they blew it. These guys could have been setting the standard for how far people need to be apart.
That's what seg-heeled means. 6 feet, fucker.
Yeah.
everybody misinterpreted Hitler, but it was like, 6 feet, 6 feet, fucker.
Yeah.
Very good. See, that's the way. Well, congratulations, gentlemen. But I think Phil, I'll give you that one on that joke. So good for you. But yeah, they can't shop there anymore. And you know what? If I saw that, I would have to give the person one of these looks, like, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to say, I'm not, again, why would I say, I don't want to say anything. You don't want to say anything to a person wearing a Nazi, you know, face mask. You know what I mean? I'm going to hold back. There's no reason. It's like on Facebook. Do I want to post this? Do I want to make this political post on Facebook? Well, that's good. You got it. There you go. Our next story, Filipino President Duterte suggests disinfecting masks with gasoline. And he quickly corrected his misquote. You know, Duterte, the guy who runs the Philippines, like he had a big drug war. Like he was trying to cast out all the drug addicts and everything in there. But he basically told everybody, if you want to have a clean mask, wipe it with gasoline and then light a cigarette.
Well, it would be your last, that's for sure. Great way to quit smoking, I suppose.
I'm going to do my impression of Michael Jackson.
Well, it's a nice way to wean off the airplane glue that all the orphan kids are huffing in the Philippines.
I wasn't aware there was a problem there.
Well, there wasn't, man. They died. They died and the problem got solved. This was in the 90s. I don't know if that's just something they told me in DARE to keep me from doing it. But didn't work.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight, Phil. So you pulled out from this story some sort of memory you had from DARE when you were a kid about in the Philippines, how they're sniffing.
Yeah, they were like, these urchins are snuffing airplane glue in the Philippines. Don't let it reach here. And then me and my buddies were like, we got to get some airplane glue.
Holy shit. Let's go get a model.
Right. That's what it was. But in my head, I'm like,
yeah, that's crazy shit.
Blue airplane?
Yeah. At the end of the day, hang the mask somewhere and spray it with Lysol if you can afford it. That's the real thing he wanted to say. Yeah. So,
can't afford is Lysol cheaper, is more expensive than gasoline then in the Philippines?
Well, remember, you couldn't get any Lysol spray here. Remember when that was, you know, remember you were trying to make toilet paper? Like, remember the beginning stages of stuff, toilet paper? I mean, thank God. I love my wife. If you would think that we were getting ready for doomsday ever since we got Costco memberships, because, you know, we got pallets of water, pallets of toilet paper all the time, you know. My wife's amazing. My wife's amazing. I gotta give her a raise. When I say raise, I gotta bang her after the show. I thought you'd all share that. Our next story: police responding to loose panther report finds a stuffed toy. I thought when they said loose panther, they were talking about Yuka Laning from the Florida Panthers.
Oh, nice. That guy's
name. You know, he was stuck in there. But a report of large apex predator in the Stenning areas in Britain, by the way, turned out to be true. It may be a stuffed toy, but there was a predator. So somebody calls the police thinking it's a panther, a black panther.
It. Right.
Not the guy from Marvel. With the
The guy from To Catch a Predator.
To Catch a Predator.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this show, this happened in Britain, didn't it?
Yes.
Afraid white people are. White people will mess with tigers, but if they see anything representing a powerful black man, they will immediately call the cops, and it's disgusting, frankly. You know, it was an unarmed tiger. It's stuffed or not. It didn't even have a gun. But you will get like the gayest dude wrestling a tiger, and you never. How come you never see like anyone with a jaguar or a black panther at those shows? Are they that scary?
So what you're saying is this was a stuffed lion. One of the British guys. Oh, I want to take care of that fucking lion.
It'd be the guy in the tightest pants. They'd be like, "Who's blowing the most guys? It's your job."
But they saw it was a panther, and they thought, "Oh no, I don't. Black Lives Matter and everything. I'm not going to get.
I don't want to get into this mess.
Yeah, I don't want to touch that guy. Call the police. Let them get fired."
Yeah, and then they beat the. She's stuck.
That's great. Our next story: cash obsessed kitten twice attempts to steal money from a bar in Russia. Now you have to. This is a video. If you got to look it up, there's a kitten. Like you guys have seen the videos of those people stealing from tip jars?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are those the
apologized people? For it many times.
Isn't that the guy from ESPN?
What does he do? Every time he goes into Starbucks, he walks out with more money. Why?
Yeah, my chocolate vanilla schmoosh only cost me actually made $5 every time I go.
Exactly. I'm turning a profit.
While we're on it, you a Starbucks man or Dunkin' Donuts?
Starbucks.
Really? Yeah. Phil?
I'm in the Pacific Northwest, man. I'm Starbucks. We don't even have Dunkin' Donuts. If I'm in like East Coast, I do Dunkin' Donuts just for the novelty.
I got to tell you, the coffee I loved when I was there were Dutch Brothers.
Oh, dude, that is such a sugar bomb, man. Are you?
I love Dutch Brothers.
And yeah, by the way, yeah, they're good.
They're tasty. Dave Lamont, have you ever had Dutch Brothers coffee in the Northwest?
No, I was in Seattle last year for a few days, and I went to that massive Starbucks, you know, that's downtown, but no, I've never heard of that one.
It is, like he said, it's a foo-foo, more of a, it's like a, you know, it's a, it was delicious. That's all I'm going to say. But when I get Starbucks, I get the white chocolate mocha. Usually when I get, so that's kind of a sugary drink. But the Dutch Brothers, if you're ever in the Northwest and you're there, your first one is free. If you've never had a Dutch Brothers, they will give you it free. So when I was there last time, I had 18 free cups of coffee. And of course, I got the big. Oh, this is my first time here. Is it really? Thanks. So a cash obsessed kitten twice attempts to steal money from the bar. Well, that isn't the first time I gave all my money to pussy. I mean, I could have reworded it or something.
I was gonna make a joke using pussy, but I thought that's too hack.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
So here, this is the joke, and I'm gonna apologize. I'm sorry about this dumb thing I'm about to say, but I felt so. I said she needed money for her purse. I'm gonna leave now. I'll see you guys later. I'm out. I'm going to go bury myself.
Go bury yourself in the woods.
Bury yourself in the woods next to the dead body.
You dig your own grave. He ends up calling me a hack, and then he says that.
Phil, the only thing missing was the David Caruso sunglasses. If you just paused long enough and gone for her purse and put the sunglasses on and walked away.
And then play a who?
Exactly.
But I think for wordplay, I'll give you that one because, you know, yeah, cash obsessed kitten twice attempts to steal. But that's just like any, it's like all pussy looking for money. All right, good one. All right, our next, our next story in Sweden, female priests now outnumber male ones. Well, I guess the altar boy should feel safe
or lonely. Dougie, how long have you lived here?
You mean in the States or Florida?
South Florida.
Long time. 30 years, something like that. 30-something years.
30 years. All right. Did you remember a theater on Federal Highway in Pompano Beach?
A theater?
An adult theater. There was actually a theater in the – it was an adult theater that showed first-run adult movies way before the – ahead of the video craze that helped that industry
out. All right. It was in Pompano where, more or less? Yes.
North of Atlantic. It's not there anymore, obviously. But I was going to say, I think I saw that movie, Swedish Female Priest, as the first run.
You know, it's funny. I will share this with you, Dave. You've been in Florida a long time. Do you remember there used to be a hotel on Federal Highway near Oakland Park called the Bon Spa?
Absolutely. They had the heart-shaped beds and the whirlpools. I'm sure they were clean.
Yes.
COVID
in that.
New.
Phil, this hotel, I took my girlfriend's there a couple different times. And in each of those times, I had my record for the most bangs for the buck.
Fisting? No. For this one.
Yeah, I'm punching.
Yeah. That apparently is.
Yeah, I had the record for the most. Yeah.
That's his gesture. I can just see it going up.
The most shots.
Are you dating a hand puppet? What happened to you?
The most times I actually reached that level, climate, the most times I ever came in one night, 14. Yes, 14 times. I held, it's still my record from the Bon Soir Hotel. It had, back then, it had the had a TV, regular tube TV, this is a long time ago, with 24 hours of porn. It never stopped. It just kept going. There was mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the walls, and some of the rooms had bathtubs, like hot tubs and shit like that. So I'd go there at like, you check in at 10 o'clock, leave the next day, and the sheets were never the same. So, great place. Did you ever go there, Dave?
No, never had the occasion. Never had the occasion to get out there and, you know, do one for the old team.
Do work.
Yeah. You were alone or 14 or?
No, I had my girlfriend. Now, mind you, this was the girlfriend I had that liked to have that became bi in the end of our relationship. Like she,
congratulations.
She was very explorative. You know, she loved having a lot of fun. God bless her. Now she's passed.
Drinking a lot of like celery juice? I mean, I just the logistics of that 14 times. It doesn't seem, man. That's crazy.
I think I was 17 or something at the time.
Oh, all right, yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay.
It wasn't like last week, dude.
All right, yeah, no, I even in 20. Okay, that helps.
I mean. You know, listen, I could barely get one anymore. One. All right. So anyway,
I do want jokes and I haven't been able to tell jokes for 4 months. Let me give you my Swedish one.
Okay.
Because I think it's a good move by the church and the parishioners because now they can pay those priests 30% less.
They are.
They can save money.
That's right.
They are getting paid less.
Yes.
Serious?
Yes.
Is that a standard thing?
I actually read the story.
Oh my God.
They are getting paid less.
Yeah. Well, everyone handles a budget crisis differently.
Yeah, there you go. However, the wage gap between the male and the female pastors averaging 2,200 Swedish kroner, which is about $248 US dollars or 215 euros per month. So... there you go. But I, you know, every time I think of Swedish women, I think hot blondes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And probably the attendance at church has picked up quite a bit, especially by horny teenagers. Mom, can we go to church again?
Yeah, the most disappointed altar boys. I was promised a molesting.
No one's touching me. I'm trying to get back to my Swedish because I've had Swedish guys I played soccer with. Yeah, because I want to go with you to church, Mom. Oh, yeah, it's horrible. I'm no Rich Little. Our last story, Florida man receives $3.9 million in COVID-19 relief funds, buys a Lamborghini, and gets arrested for fraud. You know, this is the biggest problem with this whole COVID relief was like the PPP, and you knew there was going to be people taking advantage of the system. You know, the people, it was just, but what are you going to do? You know, hopefully they can catch them. And I mean, the country sent out $1.5 billion to dead people for that $1,200 check everybody got. They sent $1.2 billion or something like that to dead people, which is ridiculous. But a Florida man receives $3.9 million in COVID-19 relief funds, buys a Lamborghini, and gets arrested for fraud. But oddly enough, marries a priest from Sweden.
Male or female?
It was a female, and he got 35% less gifts at the wedding shower or wedding party. Yeah, the Florida man had been charged with fraud. Thank God. At least he got caught. You know what I mean? When people do this kind of shit, they try to defraud the system. When they get caught, good. You know, because you'd hate to see all that money go to waste, you know?
Man, I feel bad about it. I mean, guys like this make me so mad because he got away with it. Like, he got the money.
Right.
And how do you, if you make a transaction over $10,000, it's going to get, you know, why would you not just wait a year, you know, or wait a while to do it? I don't know. I hate this guy because I can imagine being this guy. And I mean, if I had the opportunity to defraud the government at $3.9 million, I would absolutely do it. I'm not going to leave. If I thought I had that opportunity, I would totally do it. I mean,
but you're right. You wouldn't. It's like it's like the old mob days when you get that money, you rob a bank. You don't go buy a new car. You got to stay. You got to keep it. You know, got to keep it quiet. You know, he buys a Lamborghini. Hey, Bill, weren't you like selling hot dogs on the street corner last week? How the fuck?
Yeah, they were suspicious when he traded in his Vega for the Lambo, and then they realized this guy might be a fraud.
How much more do I need after I give you my 1993 Chevy Chevette? AMC Pacer. But oddly enough, he had sex with a lot of women that week he was on the road. But he didn't beat my record. 14 times, baby.
He didn't have sex with any sock puppets.
No, not at him. Not at all. Well, that's it, folks. You know, I think I can honestly say our winner for today of the Great Joke Ride contest is Phil Kopczynski. And not that Dave didn't put a good effort in there, because I'll be honest with you, Dave, I was nervous as a broadcaster. Dave's like, but he, you know, listen, that's why you're on the Paul. That's why you're on the Paul Casanova show, is that humor, you know, that dry humor, right? You are the straight man. You are. Which one was the Laurel and Hardy? Who's the fat one? Was it Laurel?
Who's the fat one? The skinny one.
Stan Laurel was the skinny one.
Oliver was the heavy one. Yeah.
And Oliver was a fat guy. So I'll be Oliver, obviously. And you could be my straight man.
That's fine. I don't mind that role at all. It pays for Eugene Levy for many, many years. Yeah.
And you know what? We'll do a little trade off. Maybe I can come do some color on a soccer game one day.
Love that.
And, you know, I promise not to curse.
Well, I was going to say, we'll have to talk about the language.
Yeah, we had Thomas Rongen, who was my coach.
Oh, yeah, I know Thomas.
Thomas has been here in the studio. Matter of fact, I still got his official dirt from, RFK Stadium? In Washington, before they tore it down, I have a bottle of the dirt where the DC United played that he left here, and I got to give it back to him for a price. I suppose I can charge him a hostage fee, but anyway, guys, I'm so glad you guys did the show today. I'm glad to see that Phil, you're still out in the woods and looking for.
Yeah, glad to see you're safe out of COVID. There, yes. You look exactly the same. Yeah. I thought, did you lose any weight?
Yeah, I did. Hold on a second. The judges have a recount on the joke.
I've been wanting a new couch in from Licorice. Thanks, man. Still appreciate that.
Hey, I'm definitely not the likable candidate.
I don't think anybody wins that award.
That's right, Dave. You have won the couch, actually, and we're going to send the licorice to Phil here. But thank you guys for being on the show. Let me start with you, Phil. Obviously, where can they find you? Where can our listeners find you and get to know more about Phil Kopczynski?
Oh, man. Well, look me up. But if you really want to check out my comedy specials on Dry Bar Comedy, it's called Full Grown Man. And check that out. It's totally clean. You can watch it in front of kids and everything. I won't even say pussy.
You'll be thinking it, though.
I didn't. Yeah, I was thinking it the whole time. Yeah. I'm actually like...
So you did a dry bar special.
Yeah, it came out in January or February. So.
Nice. How many views?
Yeah, I filmed it. Say what?
How many views?
Not a lot. Not enough. It hasn't really, not nearly. I'm not even in the like 1 million club, which is
maybe you should have said pussy. Maybe that would have helped. Actually, Dave, if you don't know, Dave, the dry bar is a comedy. You do the comedy in Salt Lake City, Utah, in front of a group of Mormons.
Oh. Yeah. Provo. So it's like ultra. Really? Mormon, yeah.
I've been to Provo. It's gorgeous there. But yes, you're right. That's the home of BYU. So it'll be
more conservative.
You can't use drug references. You have to be pretty squeaky clean, which means I got to write a whole 30-something minutes to get on that show. but nevertheless. But we'll check out the Phil's Dry Bar special and help get his numbers up. We really would appreciate that. And Dave, where can we find you?
Well, right now I'm on Facebook Live Monday and Friday at 12 o'clock doing a show called A Nooner with Dave Lamond. It's about 20, 25 minutes of whatever is going on. It's not all sports related, primarily, of course. And then I've added Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, about 5 minutes commentary called the Almost Daily Dave, and tried to do it on YouTube Live. Didn't realize that there were 7,000 things I had to accomplish. So that is also on Facebook.
Wow.
And it's crazy. I need to get a high school student in here who has way more knowledge about that than me and way more viewers than I do, and get that fixed. But that's where I am right now. I don't know where else I'll be come the fall, be honest with you.
Well, good luck to you guys. Thank and you. Hope you guys keep weathering this COVID storm and do well. And for everybody out there watching us, we thank you for watching and joining us here on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. every week Eastern Time on our channel here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show and on Gonzo Radio. We will be back next week. And by the way, we're real excited. Number one, Jen Hellman, my normal co-host, will be joining me again. She set up her studio at home. So she'll be joining me now, starting again. We got next week, I believe we got Alex Elkin coming in from the Northwest. He's going to be doing our show next week. And I'm real excited, too, because it's funny how you get to know people. One of the great things about doing TV or your comedy, you end up meeting a bunch of people you thought you would never end up meeting, just because of associations. We're excited. In 2 weeks on the show, we're going to have Tom Drezin, who's a comedy icon, legend, actually part of the Brat Pack, will be through mutual friends. I got to speak to him. And when you reach out to somebody and they reach back, you're like, holy shit. they probably think I'm somebody else. But he'll be joining us, and a lot of great guests will be coming here on the show on Tuesdays, guys. And also, if you could, follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie, and also follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. You can follow me at Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Thanks, guys, again, for joining us. Be well, stay safe, and God bless everybody. Take care. We'll see you all soon.
Take care. Later, Dougie.
Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun, children of the sun.